Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
The following podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The views and opinions expressed during the show are solely those of the individual cast members and in no way reflect the views of our guests and sponsors. We have a tremendous amount of respect and admiration for our guests and in no way want them to be associated with our sick, demented, and inappropriate sense of humor. Consider yourselves warned and welcome to the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee. Fuckers.
1, 2, 3, 4. When I turn my radio dial, all I hear is pop country. Those corporate jerks sure get on my nerves. That ain't country to me.
Now it burns when I pee.
It burns when I pee. That's what Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music fest. Cause now it burns when I
just a big gaping hole. And I tried every bottle, every pill that I know. But time, baby, time works better. Thought it might help. I wrote some songs, but they were shitty as hell. Only works when I'm broken. 4 inches. And I think that you do. fled to the country for a minute or two, and lie on the earth for better or worse. Let it swallow you whole.
Yeah, it's always perfect. All right. I'm assuming you guys are ready?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, jeez. She cleared her throat. How unprofessional is that? No. All right, I'm ready. Are you ready to do this?
Yep.
3, 2, 1.
All right, welcome everyone to episode 60 of your favorite podcast in the world. It burns when I pee. I am your host, the podcasting god.
Amen.
Blake Clayton, and we have with us, as always, oh wait, cue the intro music.
Daddy wants a cold beer. Get your cold beer now.
The ever incomparable cold beer, Coley. Welcome to the show, my love.
Hello, my sweet.
Ooh, I am getting excited. And her co-partner in crime. I even have a little intro for you now.
Uh-oh.
As I walk through the valley where I harvest my grain, I take a look at my wife and realize she's very plain. But that's just perfect for an Amish like me. You know I shun fancy things like electricity. At 4:30 in the morning, I'm milking cows. Jebediah feeds the chickens and Jacob plows. Fool, and I've been milking and plowing so long that even Ezekiel thinks that my mind is gone. I'm a man of the land, I'm into discipline. Got a Bible in my hand and a beard on my chin. But if I finish all of my chores...
It's the one and only Amish BJ.
Welcome. Hello, Blake.
That was a long intro.
That was.
Oh.
Yeah, you should just do the Amish paradise part.
Well, I don't prepare.
You're going to be in Amish paradise not in less than a month.
Ugh, I'm going to be living large and in charge, fucking me some chickens, listening to some music.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet.
It's going to be sweet ass.
You leave my bitches alone.
I got this country wet. Now it's time to bend this bitch over and make her come.
That's what I'm going to tell your chickens.
All right, folks. The song you heard coming into the show was Trampled by Turtles with Bloodshot Eyes.
Do you know how slow you have to be to get trampled by a fucking turtle?
Pretty goddamn slow.
Jesus Christ.
Like the old ladies that are always in front of you at the convenience store getting lottery tickets when you're on lunch.
Yeah, and they have 47 different cards they're going to play.
Right, exactly.
And they're not like machine, like drawn. They're just like...
Yeah,
picks.
They have all the numbers.
Yeah, they have the numbers written down, and then they're filling them in right there. Right. On the
yeah.
And those are the fuckers that win, too.
Yep.
Oh, we ought to dedicate this show to Dick Clark, right?
Sure. I guess.
Yeah.
He died.
Yes, he did.
Oh, I'm sorry. He died.
but that damn Casey Kasem's still alive, isn't he?
Is he alive or is he dead too?
No, I think he is. Maybe.
I can't remember.
I just kind of figured Dick Clark's young child stash dried up, you know, because for years and years the guy looked so young and you thought he was like a vampire. And then all of a sudden he had a stroke and goes straight down fucking hill.
Right. His wife
led from, like, people caught on to his vampirism and.
Right. His wife and kids are just like, come on, die. I want the money. And Ryan Seacrest is like, come on, die. I want to do the show myself.
Yeah. I could pick up more dudes that way.
So here, you want to hear my Dick Clark imitation?
Sure.
All right, Colby and Colby, can you do the show intro for tonight's episode?
Yes, I can do the lineup of the show. First, well, we're going to be having the game Would You Rather back, because nobody said it was bad, so we're going to do it again. Then you're going to have me, the lovely Colby, fuck up fan feedback once again. And you're going to hear all kinds of great music. Like you just heard, by Trampled by Turtles, Blaze Foley, Punch Brothers, Justin Towns Earl, Ronnie Himes, Lone Wolf, Slim Cessna's Auto Club, and Carrie Nation and the Speakeasy. And then you'll have the latest Christy Fest update, an interview with JB Beverly, looking forward to that, and so much fucking more.
It's going to be splendiliocious.
It is.
It is. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, as a matter of fact.
There is no I in team, but there is a U in cunt.
Just remember that. I have another soundboard.
Cunt is a good word. I used not to like the word cunt, but now fuck has kind of lost its luster. Like, I use fuck for an adjective, a noun, and a verb. So it's kind of lost all its punch, but you bust out, you're being a cunt. It works.
Right. And you can always go,
you're fucking out.
And then you go, you cunt.
Yeah.
That's what I always want to tell people. It's to be like,
you're fucking out.
I don't know. I'm an asshole, though.
We love you, Blake.
Oh, I love that you guys love me.
I'm a tit man. I like big ass boobs. Now and forever.
Okay, I'll stop.
I would have to agree with that statement.
Oh, the dog just farted. Oh, Christ.
Oh, they're the worst.
Oh.
Yay, another phone call. While he takes care of that phone call, I can go through the contact info real quick.
You're on the ball. Go for it, girl.
We have three different ways you can get in contact with us. You can contact us by email at blake@burnswhenip.com, coldbeer@burnswhenip.com, or I should say IBWIP.com.
Right.
Sorry for that.
That's all right. You're fired.
All right. Sorry. Shit.
Surrender is death. Death is for pussies.
Go ahead.
And homagebj@IBWIP.com. Then the dial-in number, I think we actually have one of those this week. Woohoo!
We got a voicemail. Praise Jesus. It only cost me $78, but we got one.
And that number is 206-339-8419, and it's absolutely free call for you. Not for Blake, but for you. And then you can also check out IBWIP.com for all of our links to Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.
Yep, right up there in the right-hand corner. Get in contact with us. We love contact. We love interaction by other human beings.
Yes, we do. Love it, love it, love it, love it.
That's what BJ would have done.
Nice.
So I guess we'll go ahead and get into some music.
Sounds perfectly good to me.
This is Blaze Foley with I Should Have Been Home.
You're listening to It Burns When I Pee at IBWIP.com.
That sounded so a la natural.
I try.
You have a way with words.
And I didn't fuck it up, except for
the long pause.
IBWIP.com.
You're like, you're listening to It Burns When I Pee. All right.
I give it a second, see? I was trying to be all, like,
suspense.
Doing radio like it's a fill-in.
Well, if you needed a fill-in, you should have just, you know, cleared your throat and I would have said,
next time you want to bet on my cock, you better bring some fucking pesos.
Okay. Here we are. Here's some music.
Independent contractors and ice in the wee wee hole. It's very ironic. Your show is about burning while wee wee. You talk about wee wee hole where they put the ice. They put the ice in there to get the smell down from the wee wee. And I say wee wee, I mean pee pee. Don't think I say yes, yes, because I am French. You hear my outrageous accent? You. And those goofy fuckers that are married, you do the Skype with for the show, I think it is, maybe. I do not know so well. Technology escaped me sometimes. You keep do what you do, and that Amish guy and that cold beer lady, you keep doing what you're doing. It's very nice. Okay, bye-bye.
1, 2, 3, 4... We'll be right back. Montana name.
Count us out, girlfriend.
You want me to go ahead?
I thought she was going to count you out.
Oh, I couldn't hear you there for a second.
Fucking good times on the reg. Yachts on the reg. Sex on the reg.
Okay.
All right, folks. Welcome back to IBWIP. You just heard Carrie Nation in the Speakeasy with Drunkle. And we will be doing a live vid stream on May 3rd with these guys. They're going to play a couple songs, you know, rock out and party and snort coke off Blake's butt.
And we're going to do it on location. We're not going to do it at IBWIP Studios. So I will fuck it up probably. So I'll be a hot mess. But then after that, there's only one thing that matters.
Yeah.
The countdown has begun. Folks, this is the last episode you will get a Christie Fest, pre-Christie Fest update.
Everybody's probably going, thank fucking God.
We are going to have Christie Fest. It's finally arrived. It's right around the corner. Are you guys ready?
Yep.
Getting there.
One says no, one says yep.
I'm an optimist, Blake.
Oh.
I usually am too, but there's a lot to do.
Just like house looking great stuff.
Oh. Well, we shouldn't be tearing up your house anyway. We should all be outside.
Yeah, but we want our grounds to look good.
Oh,
our plush acres.
You want it to be manicured.
It's a half acre, you jackass. She's being a jackwagon tonight.
Jesus. You know what I say to her? This is what I say to her, BJ.
You're fucking out.
What do you think about that?
I'll just go ahead and leave. That's fine.
Straighten your shit up. Okay, let's talk about Christie Fest.
All right.
Do we have like a final lineup?
Yes, we do. It has changed multiple times. Well, actually, what I've been telling everybody has stayed the same, but there's been a couple throw-ins here and there.
Ooh.
But I probably won't know until this show airs, but we will have a very special guest from deep down in Florida. It's not the first one that I thought it would be, but it's another guy that plays a really fast effing banjo.
Awesome. I think I have an idea, but I'm not saying nothing. So why don't you go through the lineup that you can tell?
Okay. We got the 10-foot Polecats. Very awesome band from Boston. We got Husky Burnett. We have Old Sleeper, Danny Kay and the Nightlifers, Robert Mitchell, Sean K. Preston, and a ton of artist guests.
Nice.
Yeah, so we're going to try to do like a backyard fireside kind of thing afterwards because I don't want to disturb my neighbors all night long. So I think going acoustic by the fire should be a fun time anyway. And we'll get to see a lot of mix-ups and mash-ups and everybody playing together.
Cool. Like an all-star team.
Yes. Yes.
We have buttons.
Yes. We're going to have giveaways for the folks that come. And the bands are bringing merch from what I heard. So if you're planning on coming to Christie Fest, definitely bring some extra cash, donate to the bands, buy merch, and have a damn good time.
And whatever buttons we have left over, we can put on the website or something, or somebody can we can send them out and order them up.
Right.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, button making was a great idea. And that's about as far as it got with the great part.
Yeah. That's anything, sure. Really.
I want to charge $35 a piece for them because it was such a pain in the ass. But they're awesome looking. And we got pictures, I think, on the interweb.
Yes.
Maybe I'll take a picture of them and you can put it on the Facebook or something.
Okay.
And so is there any other last-minute things that people need to know if they're going to show up? Or?
Kids are very accepted. Had a couple people ask me about that. There will be limited camping in the backyard. I know if, like, 200 people show up, we're not going to be able to accommodate 200 people in the backyard to sleep.
Unless we all pile on top of each other.
Which naked. Could be fun in itself. But there is hotels here in Ship. There's a Christie Fest details page up on Facebook. Just go over there. I put up some hotels that are in the area. Also, there's like state parks and stuff, which would probably be pretty cool for camping. I know there's a Campgrounds of America or COA or whatever the hell they are over in Gettysburg, which is a short like half an hour jaunt from here. So, I mean, there's plenty of places. It's also BYOB. And I have a feeling I'm going to probably be making a booze run first thing Saturday morning.
So get there early so you can get your order in and your cash in, right?
Right.
Correct.
And make sure you bring lots of money for the bands because these guys are playing totally on donation. And we want to make sure, especially like the poor guys that are driving all the way from Boston just to come down. Husky, who's on tour in the Northeast, which the Northeast sucks for tours, so... we definitely want to make sure we get these bands some money. Definitely. So,
and we're also going to be recording the 5th anniversary episode of IBWIP together.
Woohoo! I'm so excited about that.
That's going to be totally awesome. I'm super excited about it. Like, I, you know, you want your anniversary shows to be meaningful, and I think like this is what's going to make it like totally awesome because we're going to be in the same room and touching each other's ball sacks and breasts.
I was going to say, wait a second. When did I grow a set of balls?
Fine, we'll touch your meat curtains.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
They don't hang very low.
No, they're not.
They're not flappy?
No.
That's meat curtains is a cool word.
Yeah.
Blake, you sound like hell, man.
I just choked on a meat curtain. Anyway. All right, it's the best part of the show. Everybody loves it.
Yay.
Except Coley. Coley, will you introduce us to the wonderful world of fan feedback?
Yes, I will.
With some enthusiasm.
Yes, I will.
Because if you don't,
you're fucking out.
Damn it. All right, I'll probably fuck this first one up because it's forever long. And when it gets very long, it gets rambly, and then I lose my place, and you know how it goes. All right. So, it starts out. Coley, this one is for you. Hi, Blake, BJ, and Coley, or Cold Beer Coley.
See, she can't even get her own name right.
No, I can't, see? You just should fire me or just not let me do this anymore. You magnificent bastards, you. Except you, Coley. You can't, by definition, be a bastard. It has been a while since I've sent some fan feedback. Sorry, but just roll with it. This because I am wasted right now. See? And then that happens, and it just gets all more fucked up.
People seem to always send us fan feedback when they're fucking liquored up.
That's okay. But it's harder to read. All right. Fan feedback is one of my favorite segments, probably the most magnificent segment. The most magnificent thing about your show is that you allow my drunken ramblings. I don't care what anyone says. It ain't rape if she laughs first. Also, what do you do when the dishwasher breaks down? Get a divorce. You guys are dicks, but probably the most magnificent dicks out there pushing the good music like a 13-year-old pushing crack in Compton, California. I recently moved from...
That's racist.
Yeah, I think that's foul. We need to take that fucking out of that. That's, we got to take that out of here.
See, I was on a roll and then you guys interrupt.
I was biding my time.
I wanted to talk about our magnificent cocks, or what he said we were magnificent dicks.
Probably the most magnificent dicks.
Ah, yes.
I do have a very magnificent dick.
No, he was calling you dicks.
No, he wasn't. He was talking about
he was telling us we had nice dicks. Maybe it's a she. We don't even know. Maybe it was a she.
Can I go on now?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I recently moved from Minneapolis, Minnesota to Austin, Texas, just in time for South by Southwest. Awesome. Thanks to you, Blake, I saw the Calamity Cubes. They were magnificent. I would not have known about them without your magnificent show. They played just before the magnificent Hellblown Glory.
Hellblown Glory.
Are you Dick? Is that your invitation to Dick Clark? You're like, Hellblown Glory.
Stop mocking me.
Stop mocking me.
I'm dead. It's not funny.
I would not have known them or known about them without your magnificent show. They played just before. See, now I lost my place because guys. Now, freaking Sean's picking on me. Okay. I miss Possessed by Paul James and Rachel Brooke. I was told they were magnificent, but that was more or less because I was getting a gummer from a hot Texan 19-year-old.
What'd you say?
He was getting a gummer from a hot Texan 19-year-old. It was magnificent. Like, you'll be happy to know that the Calamity Cubes plugged It Burns When I Pee, and you personally. With thanks for the plugging them to a crowd of about 30 people. I want a free t-shirt. He said, I want a free t-shirt. Oh, okay. Never mind. He was.
You're fucking out.
Yes, I am. Okay. I want a free t-shirt and stickers. Hell, if anywhere needs to be sticker bombed with IBWIP stickers. And that's exactly what it said. It's Austin, Texas. I'll do it for a free t-shirt if you send me stickers. I have a question. Perhaps I missed this, but whatever happened to Peter? His magnificent plumage went to Jeff in Texas.
Plumage.
To Jeff in Texas, but then he disappeared. I went to the new website, and there were no pictures of that magnificent little cock anywhere. Magnificent job at the Star Wars theme. It made me want to get a Star Wars tattoo to get the prize. I guess I still got time, and I just might get her done. I hate myself a little more for using that line. I hate myself more for not knowing I'm referencing Larry the Cable Guy or referencing Blake. Referencing. Jesus Christ. Referencing Larry the Cable Guy.
Is a dude playing a dude that is a dude.
Anyway, as drunk as I am amazed I was able to spell this good and stuff. I wanted to draw this fan feedback out as long as possible, but alas, I'm drunk. Magnificently drunk, possibly suffering from, I'm not even going to say that because I have no fucking clue what
volcanokinosis.
This word.
Oh, that word?
Yeah.
I was reading the box.
Yeah.
Whatever.
See, BJ doesn't even know what the hell that fucking word is.
It's pneumonia. Yo, ultra microscopic cilia.
Yo, volcanosis. Okay.
Anyway, it's bad shit, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It makes your fart smell like the breath of a 3-day dead baby seal. And you burp a lot. Look it up. It's true-ish. On a side note, I'd like to extend an invitation to you three, Blake, BJ, and Coley, to come down for South by Southwest next year. You can crash at my place, or I'll find a good place for you. IBWIP needs to add a Live in Austin show to round it out with the Live from Muddy Roots 2012. That I'm expecting to hear. Guess I rambled on a little longer than I thought I was going to. Well, if you can't beat a dead horse, fuck it. And that was from Jade. Thank you so much, Jade. That was very
longish.
But you know what? You got to admit, like, it was long, but he referenced so many things in it.
He did.
He did. He did a great job.
Oh, that fucking dog. Oh, Jesus.
You know what? I'm sitting here the whole time she's reading this, come on, I got to get through this. I got to go poop.
I pooped it again.
I pooped it again. And now it's gone.
Oh.
Like, after all that, now I don't have to poop no more.
You didn't have any turtle, what do you call that, turtle?
Turtle head? No turtle head.
So thank you, Jade, for that. That was awesome fan feedback. Like, we got it like 2 days after we recorded the last episode. Otherwise, it would have been on there. But it was totally awesome. And I think I sent him stickers. I don't know. If not, I better hurry up, huh?
Yeah.
I'm such a dick. My secretary doesn't do anything.
So when's your secretary moving you out?
It's pretty soon. You know, with each passing week, you know, the look on her face, the look of dread and despair, it seems to grow. Like, she used to, you know, wake up in the morning, oh, hi, this is so great. And now with each passing morning, she just kind of, fuck.
You know? He's still here.
He's still here. He won't fucking leave.
See, the problem is I don't know if he's kidding or not.
She's like,
Mom loves him to death.
She's like, if he wasn't here, I wouldn't be able to turn on the fucking Wii, but I'm sure I could find me a Jethro that would turn that fucker on.
All right, let's go into the next one. The next two are quite a bit shorter, so let's get through these. All right.
Hey.
What?
Nothing.
Didn't he just say hey? I thought he said hey.
I think you're a terrific girl, but you have clothes like a fucking dickhead.
All right. Hey, guys, just thought I would send you a quick thanks and praise. I'm stuck in my office, tiny upstairs room, working today and catching up on episodes. I love me some James Honeycutt. Great interview. Mitch. Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks, Mitch. And we're glad that you're listening to us at work.
Yes.
Yes.
And
I think it was his home office, wasn't it?
Oh, in Sioux City, Iowa.
Nice.
Yes. I think he's a real estate mogul.
Really?
Yeah. You'd think he would donate some money being a real estate. Or buy some.
There's a lot of corn in Iowa.
Mitch, you need to send in a voicemail next time just bitching at Blake.
I like corn.
I love porn. Porn is extravagant.
Getting drunk on the reg, fucking good times on the reg, yachts on the reg, sex on the reg.
All right, last but not least.
No, what are you doing?
The last friggin' email.
I had a stroke a couple minutes ago.
Why did you have a stroke, BJ?
Because I eat nothing but bacon and drink beer. I feel slower.
All right, Coley, bring it.
All right. By the way,
I think it was a real stroke.
As opposed to a fake stroke?
Yeah. I felt something move in my brain.
Are you serious?
Maybe.
That's going to make Christy Fest really, really sad.
Yeah, if I hang like one side of my body.
Okay, since you want to talk so much, you can do the last one.
Like, ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to announce our next band, the Tampa Podcast.
Yay! Everybody put your hands together. Conley, lift my other hand. Left side of my face don't work right.
I can only eat out one side of your pussy.
Coley's getting mad. She wants to read this last feedback.
All right.
Are you guys okay? You calm now?
Three, two, one.
And contact.
This is going to be magnificent.
It's going to be awesome. She's stewing.
I kind of am. Anyways, last one. By the way, loved your podcast featuring the interview with Lydia Lovelace. Thanks again for all your hard work over there at IBWIP. David.
Thank you, David.
You're a nice fella, David.
Thanks, David. Sorry it took so long to get to yours.
Yeah, poor David fell asleep. He's like, oh, they might read my fan feedback on it.
Oh, fat guy had a stroke.
Fat guy had a stroke, and Blake was laughing about eating pussy with half of a mouth. Well, you know, we love fan feedback, and we, like I said, we got a voicemail that we heard earlier, and before BJ reads the contact information as his punishment for having a stroke, I think you should do the fan feedback as Dick Clark. But we got the fifth anniversary show, and if you've ever thought about sending us fan feedback and never doing it, this is going to be the time to do it. Send us those voicemails, because it would be awesome to play a bunch of voicemails from people, you know, on our fifth anniversary show.
Especially if you're going to call and leave a voicemail and stroke Blake's ego.
Yes, I like my ego.
Or Coley's, for that matter.
I like it tossed, too.
It's almost like a Muslim-Jewish thing, but with tits and ass.
So, BJ, tell him how to get a hold of us for all that ego stroking.
I sure will. There is three email addresses you can get a hold of us at. One is Blake at IBWIP.com. Oh, I'm supposed to do this like Dick Clark.
Oh, yeah.
Colbert at IBWIP.com. Amish BJ at IBWIP.com.
But don't do the phone number in the voice. That way people know it.
Yeah, that's fine. And the dial-in number, so you can leave a voicemail and stroke our egos and other things. It is 206-339-8419. Again, that's 206-339-8419.
Dial it up. Now go back to Dick Clark for the rest.
Okay. You can also get a hold of us on IBWIP.com on Twitter. Actually, it's not .com. It's IBWIP.com at Twitter.
Not com.
C-O-M.
Com.
On, not at.
I didn't.
Oh, does it suck when people interrupt you?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it does.
Also,
or correct you.
Also, there's Pia Vision on YouTube. Go check out Pia Vision. It's awesome. Never mind. And search IBWIP on Facebook. Go like the page. And tell your friends to like the page.
We need more friends.
Yes. Friends are good people. And
friends don't let friends interrupt.
And check out the top right corner of IBWIP.com for hot links to porn sites.
No, it's got hot links to the Twitter, the YouTube, and the Facebook.
Oh, really? No porn sites?
No.
The fuck am I in this?
I don't want people getting into my shit, because then, like, if another guy watches one of the porns I like, then I feel like she's cheating on me.
Jeez.
Lovely. Well, everybody wants us to quit talking, because there is a man on the show that we interviewed who is legendary and who is kick-ass, and that's what everybody wants us to get to. So we are going to play a song called I'm Bitter, and it's by J.B. Beverly and Ronnie Himes. And this song is going to be on Ronnie's upcoming album, Just a Working Man. So it's followed up by the interview with J.B. Beverly.
Yay.
You're listening to
Dramatic Pause.
Heck.
You're listening to It Burns at IP at IBWIP.com.
You're listening to It Burns When I Pee at IBWIP.com.
You're listening to It Burns When I Pee
at IBWIP.com.
10, 9.
You guys, this is way too soon.
Too soon.
I understood what you did to Amy Winehouse one and the and the other black chick. But this is just out of, this is un-American.
I always thought I was a gentleman. I always tried to understand, but I'm bitter.
Please forgive me.
Lord, I'm bitter. I played the game of love and lost. Then they went and changed the cause. I'm bitter.
Please forgive me.
Lord, I'm bitter. Loyalty and love don't come cheap. But for it, I've been made to feel weak. Now it's hard to smile while feeling sad. The sunset hurts so bad. I'm bitter.
Told me your love was true. I'd wish you told me true to who. I'm bitter.
Please forgive me.
Lord, I'm bitter. The hopes and dreams that I once had, now memories that make me mad. I'm bitter.
Please forgive me.
Lord, I'm bitter.
Folks, welcome back to the Dirty Stalls of A Burns When I Pee, episode 60, and we have with us, you know, to me, one of the main guys in the scene today, JB Beverly. JB, thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
We just got done listening to I'm Bitter, which is a song that you have recorded with Ronnie Himes, and it's going to be on Ronnie Himes' new album. How did that project all come together?
Well, It was funny. I was at Ronnie's house, you know, when I moved to North Carolina just right about a year ago. And Ronnie was a friend I made pretty quickly, and we started hanging out. And I was at his house one night, and we were talking about something totally unrelated, but I got this idea for the song. And I said, man, I'll be right back. And I went and grabbed his guitar and started writing it. And he just thought, you know, we were together, and I said, hey, man, write the second verse to this.
Oh, so you each was, wrote, you each got to write a verse then?
Well, I wrote the first verse and the chorus, he wrote the second verse and I wrote the third verse, and that's, you know, we just, and we kind of agreed like, well, you know, sing it together on your record and my, you know, my next record or something, and just, you know, get the song out there. And, you know, I don't co-author much, you know, so when I do get to write something with a friend, if we have the means of recording it, you know, we certainly do.
Awesome. It's a really good song. It has a real authentic, you know, old school sound to it. And you guys' boy, excuse me, your guys' voices are both so distinct that it turned out really good.
Yeah. Ronnie's great, man. I got the chance to mix and master his new record. And he's a phenomenal songwriter and, you know, a great singer, great guitar player, you know, and just all around really good guy. So I was real happy to, you know, pen a song with somebody I like and respect a lot. It's always fun.
And you are about to release your own solo album called Stripped to the Root. Can you kind of tell folks about that and what they can expect?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to call it a Wayward Drifters record because it's, I mean, while there are some songs on there that could easily find their way into the Wayward Drifters set, it's a lot more than that. I mean, some of it's, you're picking, you know, Appalachian blues, you know, Piedmont blues, old times. Some of it's straight out, you know, rock and roll. Some of it's, you know, pretty close to country. It's a real mix of just different styles that, you know, that kind of make me up. And I just decided just to stick my name on it. And that way nobody would hear it and say, well, man, you know, this doesn't sound like the Wayward Drifters, right. You know, at least it may not sound like the Wayward Drifters, even though I write all that stuff too, but it's like, it, you know, it still sounds like me, especially if you've listened to other things that I've done and you know who my influences are and things like that. You know?
Awesome. And when can folks expect that to be out?
Sooner than later. I don't have a release date yet. I'm still in the, I've got about 3/4 of it recorded. I still have like 4 songs I need to track. I have a few guests I'm waiting on to get involved. You know, they're going to be on a few specific songs. James Honeycutt's going to be on a couple cuts, and Sean Wheeler, formerly of Throw Rag, and you know, who does that stuff, does a band with Xander Schloss, and you know, I'm basically doing just different friends of mine in music that, you know, have wanted to contribute here and there. At this point, I'm just sort of bringing you know, bringing in the guests and getting ready to start the mix and the master. So
awesome. Well, you know, and you kind of mentioned it earlier when you were describing the new album, but, you know, you have, you know, the metal, the punk, the country, the blues, and you've kind of hit all different genres. And for me, I was kind of wondering, like, you know, when you're working on a specific project, like for Little White Pills or for the Drifters or even for Ghost Dance, you know, how do you separate all those different styles and kind of focus on the project that you're doing at the time?
Well, I don't know that I necessarily do. You know, I have friends of mine that don't listen to punk rock really, but, you know, they love country or they love blues, and they'll hear Little White Pills and they hear, you know, similar chord progressions, similar approaches to lead playing. And, I mean, there's a distinct line, man. I mean, you know, 3 to 5 chords in the truth is what I always say. You know, it's like if you're just, you know, if you're being, and I always, you know, I can draw a distinct line between so many different things that I like. I mean, at the end of the day, man, I mean, it's, you know, as long as it's good, as long as it's, you know, as you're putting your best effort into it and, you know, putting your own marks, putting your, you know, your stamp on it. If you're, you know, you can, I mean, it's all been done before, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, everybody, you know, how, think with so many chords in any given key.
Right.
So the reality is, you know, the trick becomes finding original melodies. The trick becomes, you know, crafting your lyricism a certain way and, you know, just putting your experience into the song. So if I'm working on the Little White Pills and I want to do a, you know, a country lick on the Gretsch blowing through a distorted, you know, distortion pedal and a Marshall stack, it's like, I can get away with that.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But you got to know how to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's about just putting things that inspire you together and finding, it's like kind of playing mad scientist with it. You know, you find the formula that works, you work the formula,
right?
You know?
So at what point in your life did kind of country music seem to be a road that you wanted to travel on? And like I said, you know, with the punk and going to metal and to roots music. I mean, what part of your life kind of led you that way?
Well, for me, it was full circle because I heard country and bluegrass and, you know, T-Bone blues and old time long before I ever heard the Stooges and the Ramones or Motorhead or anything like that. So, growing up, I heard bluegrass and country and some blues and some early rock and roll, you know, rockabilly and, you know, the typical kid, you know, you hear Elvis, you know what I mean? Sure. Stuff like that. But like by the time my adolescence crept on me, you know, that was the shit my parents... Oh, can I curse on here, by the way?
You're fine. Believe me.
I can't help it. But no, there was the stuff that my parents liked, and there was, you know, I wanted something different. You know what I mean? And, I appreciated hearing, you know, Johnny Cash and Bill Monroe and Hank Williams and stuff. I love that stuff. But by the time the punk rock bug bit me, and, you know, it was also around the same time I discovered Black Sabbath and, you know, and things like that. And I just sort of just fell in love with that whole other world. You know what I mean? And I was one of those weird kids, man. Like, you know, I had credibility amongst other punk rockers and I had credibility amongst, you know, metalheads because I sort of cross-pollinated. You know, I went to a lot of the punk and hardcore shows, but I also, you know, would always go to see, you know, metal bands, you know what I mean? And sort of gravitated towards that whole, you know, that sort of, you know, cross-pollinating school of thought. And I just like intense music. I don't care, you know, and real music. I don't care if it's acoustic guitars, banjos, mandolins, wash tubs, whatever, or, you know, it could be, you know, Motorhead blowing out your eardrums. But if it's good, I love it, you know.
Right.
So I sort of, for me, though, to answer your question, and it was full circle. I fell in love with the roots music as a kid, kind of rebelled into punk and metal and all that stuff. And then as I got older, I often joke and say that, you know, you get your nose broken and your heart broken a couple of times, and some of that stuff starts making a lot more sense.
Right.
You know?
And I think, you know, all of us go in that teen years is we want to rebel against everything that's, you know, familiar. And I think that's one of the things that has drawn a lot. I've noticed that a lot of the artists in this genre, you know, did start out in, you know, in the punk and the metal, and they've come full circle. And I think a lot of it has to do with, yes, we listened to that stuff and we were influenced by our, you know, our parents and our grandparents. But, you know, as a youth, you want to rebel, kind of make your own statement. But then, like you said, you come back full circle because it starts to make sense. What, you know, the songs have a lot more meaning than they do when you're 13.
And not only you're right, but not only that, I mean, you think about it like this, man. I mean, back in the late 80s when I started going to shows and discovering, you know, all those bands. I mean, what changed my life was going to see the Bad Brains. That was the one that, like, just stopped my world. And, you know, but it's like back then, you know, if I'd gone to a punk rock or a hardcore show with a Rebel flag, you know, patch sewn onto my back, being from Virginia and, you know, hey, I'm proud to be from the South, but that kind of stuff, I'd have gotten my ass beat up one side and down the other.
Right.
There was a time period where, and if you don't believe me, I mean, ask the boys from Anti-Scene. You know, it's like there was a time when if you played punk rock music, you know, and you were willing to sit there and say, you know, Rebel Pride in the old school sense, like, you know, you ran a serious risk of not only rejection, but, you know, having to fight your way out of, you know, out of your own gigs and stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Like there was just a time when that was not cool. And then see, it was like when I was in, you know, like junior high school, going into high school, you know, these kids they'd laugh at you. It's like, you know, you got a Johnny Cash sticker on your notebook. You know, they think that was funny.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you get teased for something like that. Well, all of a sudden, okay. Around that same time, you know, Social Distortion covers Ring of Fire. All of a sudden these punk rock kids got their feet in their mouth.
Right.
Like, well, wait a second.
And then
we just made fun of this guy for listening to Johnny Cash, but you know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things where, you know, things like, you know, Social Distortion and, you know, and Dave Alvin and, you know, I mean, God, the Blasters. I mean, there was a lot of bands that sort of opened that door slowly and surely into the 90s. And then by the end of the 90s, man, I mean, between two things happened in 1998 and 1999, respectively, that just changed everything. I don't care what anybody says, but these two things are sound. Mike Ness doing his country album, his solo stuff, and Hank Three's first record coming out. That changed everything.
Right.
And I know because I was there. I mean, I had the Wayward Drifters put together the first incarnation in 1999. And, you know, Mike Ness's solo record was largely responsible for inspiring me to do that. Because I'm like, well, you know, man, all right, this guy's been playing punk rock music for years, and he ain't afraid to do a rockabilly song or do an old Sun Records song, you know, or a country song, and, you know, put a lap steel player in his band. So all of a sudden I got real inspired by that, you know, and I'd heard some of the stuff that Lee Vang had done with Range War, you know, his kind of country stuff, and just that all kind of happened around the same time, man. And then Hank Three busted out his first record, and, you know, the rumor quickly circulated that his live show, you know, the latter half of it involved, you know, this kind of swamp metal. I mean, you know, the original Ass Jack sound.
Right.
And that was a game changer. You know, I mean, it really was. Those two things, I mean, you know, Mike Ness's country album, Hank Three's first record, I watched it all change.
Sure.
You know, all of a sudden, like, not only could you be from the South and be proud of that and you know, and whatever, and show your roots and not get your ass beat for it, but even worse, all of a sudden you got scores of people that, you know, don't come from that culture that all of a sudden they want to be a part of it. And that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
You know, it's like there's plenty, you know what I mean? But where I lose my head with it is when you get like the mockery stuff going on, you know, where you get like a bunch of people who, I mean, you don't have to be from the South to be country, but like there's people who are, you know, who have zero country roots, zero country experience, putting on coveralls and straw hats and coming out on stage with a fake accent. You know, well, howdy folks, you know, we're Johnny Bandit and the Moonshine Outlaws, you know? And at that point, you know, I kind of figured like that must be as a working class guy from the South. I mean, I kind of look at that and I'm thinking, and this must be how black folks feel when they see a minstrel show.
Yeah, that's
you know what I mean? It's like, you know, cultural mockery at that point. And so, you know, the whole thing really changed with the, you know, with the, in the late 90s. And then of course, by 2005, 2006, especially when like the, you know, I call that kind of like the turning point, like the new breed of like, you know, Hank Three fans and a lot of, you know, things kind of got amped up, man. All of a sudden there's like, you know, 12 new bands in every city.
Right.
They had, you know, a stand up bass player or a banjo or, you know, a fiddle or something. And it was like, and in some cases it makes sense. In other cases it doesn't, you know, but like, I mean, it certainly has been quite a evolution. That's
right.
For sure.
So, you know, you're very respected throughout the scene, you know, by so many different artists, and you've inspired so many different artists. You know, a lot of people I've interviewed have brought your name up as, you know, inspiration. You know, who are some of the people or some of the artists, past and present, that have really influenced you all around as you're in your creative outlet?
Man, well, God, I mean, I listen to I listen to and play so many different styles of music. It really depends on what you look at. I mean, with the country stuff, I mean, you know, Jimmy Rogers, Johnny Cash, Hank Williams, Lefty Frizzell, Merle Haggard, you know, I mean, even some of the lesser knowns who are just equally as important, you know, Vernon Oxford. And, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. And with the blues, you know, I was mentored by Warner Williams, a Piedmont blues player who's amazing, and, you know, Mississippi John Hurt and Skip James. And, you know, as far as punk rock's concerned, I mean, God, you name it, man. I mean, it's like when I was a kid, I mean, God, if you could see my record collection, you'd laugh, man. I have like the cliche, you know, kid of my era and or, you know, my generation's, you know, record collection. So,
right.
I mean, it's like, you know, everything, man, the Misfits, Black Flag, Fear, you know, as far as punk rock, Johnny Thunders was a huge influence, New York Dolls, you know, I mean, Gigi when I was a teenager, you know, God, man, when I was younger, there was a ton of stuff, man, in the metal world or, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, Motorhead's always been one of my favorite bands, and, you know, I mean, shit, you know, Slayer, you know, a lot of the old Doom shit. I'm good friends with Bobby Liebling from Pentagram and, you know, a lot of the prog stuff from the 70s, you know, Captain Beyond, Sir Lord Baltimore, you know, the stuff that inspires me, I can sit here and list it off
sure.
for 3 hours.
Yeah, definitely.
A ton of stuff. kind of stuff.
Well, you know, last year was the second year for the Muddy Roots Festival, and it's, you know, it's vastly approaching us this year. And you know, we were there last year, and just the performances we saw from everyone were just amazing. You know, I kind of wanted your take on Muddy Roots, and how significant do you think that festival itself is kind of putting for Roots music, the Roots music scene?
Well, I think that first off, I think Muddy Roots is a great thing. I think that those guys have worked hard to give a platform to people who don't have a collected voice outside of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you know, definitely. You can go to, you know, I go on tour, James Huntington goes on tour, Jake Orvis goes on tour, you know, the Gallows, you know, the Calamity Cubes, whoever. I mean, like, you know, you might go see 12 concerts inside of a year. We go to Muddy Roots, you get to see all of us within 72 hours.
Right.
You know, if you're into all that kind of stuff, and you know, and then with, you know, pulling people like, you know, like Brother Wayne Hancock and getting them on the Jackson. I mean, it doesn't hurt. And this year they've got a hell of a bill, you know, slated. I mean, they got Dr. Ralph Stanley coming, man, which is neat because Ralph Stanley knew my great granddaddy back in Virginia, in Southern Virginia, years and years ago. So I can't wait to go up to him and tell him I'm Logan Beverly's grandson.
Awesome.
He's gonna lose it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you know, just having.
But yeah, Muddy Roots is a great thing, man. I mean, I think the thing that people need to understand, though, is that, you know, a lot of people hear about, you know, the Roots scene, the Roots country scene. I mean, there's a big difference, though, between the traditional side of it and the progressive side of it.
Right.
And you know, there is a difference. I mean, yeah, I play punk rock, I play metal, you know, I play country and bluegrass and blues and whatever. But as you've noted, I mean, I keep multiple projects and try to keep them, like, you know, genre specific. I don't feel the need personally to be, you know, a death metal country band, you know what I'm saying? Or to be playing Fast and Furious, you know, every song was Mach 3, 1,000 miles an hour. I'd much rather bask in my roots and in the traditions and the song and, you know, and the styles and structure that moved me. I'd much rather, you know, lay into that and keep it, you know, genre specific, band specific than to,
sure,
you know, try to play Dr. Frankenstein and mold it all together. That's not to say that some of the people who do that are fantastic at it. They are. But the problem you get is it's the same thing that happens in every music scene. I mean, you know, you figure out where all the pocket influences are and, you know, everyone rushes to play Mad Scientist and you do wind up with a certain amount of overflow that's going to be generic and ridiculous.
Right.
And that's sort of the point that, you don't see this at Muddy Roots per se, but I mean, you talk about the quote unquote scene. I mean, that's the problem that I'm having is like, how do fans just looking for a good music experience that are new to this, how do they denote the difference between, you know, a band that's writing original songs, you know, and trying to do their own thing from one of these bands that, you know, jumped on the Hank 3 bandwagon and they're trying to make 12 different versions of Crazed Country Rebel on their next record.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
exactly.
that's where it becomes a problem. But as far as going back to your question, I mean, Muddy Roots specifically is a great thing. And I mean, as long as we can keep the, you know, the ding dongs out of there, man, it should be fine.
Right. So, you know, we had talked kind of before we did the interview, and you had mentioned that you were working on a new Wayward Drifters project. Can you kind of tell us about that and where you're at with that?
Yeah, the new record is going to be called The Way We Do It in Dixie, and it's a pretty interesting album so far. I haven't started the tracking for it yet. I just got done kind of slating which songs are going to stay and which ones are going to go, but it's going to be the first studio record I've done without, you know, without Johnny Lawless and Banja Dan. So it's going to be interesting with new players and, you know, to see how it sort of morphs a little bit.
Sure.
But, you know, Johnny found some, you know, he had some personal changes in his life. He got married and a lot was going on and he's about to be a granddaddy. His son's expecting a child any day now. So he kind of bowed out of the road life and doing the music full time thing just to take care of his responsibilities and, you know, keep himself together. And, you know, and then Dan moved all the way out to California for personal reasons. And just because of geographical proximity and all that kind of stuff, I'm, I'm left to reinvent the wheel. Right. So yeah, I've got like 13 or 14 new songs. It's going to be a different backing band with a couple of guests on there. But I mean, I can promise you this much. I'm going to definitely come out swinging. I'm not going to hand everybody a sorry excuse for a record. That's awesome. For sure.
That's good to hear. No. So, you know, you're also currently working on a book called Chase Down These Blues. Can you kind of tell us about your avenue of writing as well?
That was a big accident, man. It really was. I never wanted to write a book. I never thought about it. But I came off tour, off a pretty long tour, a year and a half ago. And I was recounting some old just road stories and how one thing had led to another. And I went through this to get here and so on and so forth. And a very close friend of mine was like, man, you need to write a book. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, your fans would appreciate the insider knowledge. He said, and beyond that, people who don't know who you are will just still appreciate the story, sure. And so then at first I was kind of like, come on, nobody's going to give a crap, some honky-tonk punk rocker on the road, big deal, But my buddy was saying how unique, pointing out how unique some of the experiences were and how I craft the story. He's like, man, if you can write like you can talk, he's like, you'll have people, laughing, crying, it'll be a really good experience. So I sort of made a promise to myself, okay, well, I'm going to sit down and write a chapter. And if I can write a chapter and I go back and read it and it doesn't make me laugh at myself, I want to burn it. And we'll keep writing. So far I've kept writing.
Are you slated to have that out anytime soon, or is it just kind of still a work in progress?
I'm working on a publishing arrangement right now. I've got a couple interested parties, and if that doesn't pan out the way I'd like, I'll self-publish it. Because I really want my fans and my friends to be able to read it, and I don't really care, as far as... It's the same thing with music. It's like, I don't care about getting on a big label and, becoming a rock star. That's a crock of shit. Like what I really want to do is, just make real music, make good music and reach people who get it. And that's the thing. And the same thing with the book. So it's like, I don't need to go to some publishing house and get a certain contract a certain way and blah, blah, blah. If they won't give me what I need to make it happen the right way, I'll just put it out myself, let the people who want it get it. And after that, it's been real.
Yeah. And with the internet now and the ability to self-publish is a lot easier than it used to be. You used to not have that avenue, but there's definitely, you have a lot more options than you had before. That's for sure.
That's very true. I mean, yeah. So basically the book is like, a lot of the stuff you've been asking me, my childhood, what kind of music motivated me and some of the crazy stuff that happened and, riding trains and this and that. And it chronicles the first 10 years of the Wayward Drifters, which is the first two, local and regional lineups. And then the years on the road with Dan and Johnny. And it brings you from, it pretty much chronicles the first, from 1999 till 2009 in the band. And then we'll see if there's room for a sequel.
Right. And it's probably also, for you to be able to look back on those experiences. I'm sure not only are you pulling stuff out for the book, but I'm sure it also triggers creative avenues with songwriting too, being able to reflect back on those times.
It does. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. I've had to write about things that I've, I guess the best way to put it is like this. There's always stories you want to tell.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then there's the ones you don't want to tell, but if you don't tell the harder ones, you're leaving huge gaps because, right. Just how life works. You know what I mean? Life ain't always rolling easy. You have to cover some of the crap to have people appreciate, your successes and where you've won and beat the odds or whatever. Right. So, I mean, I've recounting some of these things in my mind has been joyous and filled with smiles. And it's a lot of fun to write. And then the other stuff, the stuff that I haven't talked about in years or if ever that I'm disclosing in here, those times are a lot denser, for sure.
Awesome. Well, we're looking forward to it. So this is probably going to be a tough one for you, but how would you describe yourself in one word?
man. Let me think about that for a second. Lucky.
Good. I like it. That's definitely.
I'm real lucky, man. You know, I've stared the devil in the face a few times and cheated the reaper a few times. And, you know, at this point, yeah, just lucky.
Right. Right on. So do you have any plans for touring in the near future, or what do you kind of have in store for the next 3 or 4 months?
Well, I'm going out on the road again, and I've taken the last year off the road and focused on my recording and building up the studio and tending to some personal business. And just, you know, it's the first break I've taken off the road in almost 8 years. So I really had to, you know, it wasn't planned. It was kind of sporadic, you know, with John's situation and Dan moving. And it was just like, okay, well, you know, I could slot a band back together and go out and, you know, play the same old set, or I can hunker down and work on some new stuff. So I've been laying low, and I'm going back out on the third week in June until the end of the first week in August. And I don't have dates yet. I don't know where we're going, but I know we're going west and through the south. And, you know, we should be playing a pretty good variety of places. So if people are wanting to come catch a show, you know, there will be an opportunity.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, you know, you're a songwriter, performer, producer, writer, actor. You do a little bit of everything, and I commend you for that, for, you know, keeping fresh on everything. And it's an honor to have you on the show. It's an honor to be able to listen to your music and to experience it. And, you know, I speak for everybody and all your fans when I say, you know, keep it up, and thank you very much for making the sacrifices that you have to every day to get that music out to us.
Well, I really appreciate that, man. Thank you. And, you know, and without the people who care, without my fan base and all the various ties that I have through the music, I mean, I would have checked out of here a long time ago. So, you know, it's literally that love and support that gets me through the hard times without swallowing a few bullets. So the pleasure's all mine. I really appreciate it.
So where can folks go to keep up on all the things you got going on? Where's the best place for them to keep track of you?
My website is probably the quickest and easiest. It's www.jbbeverly, and that's LEY.com.
All right, awesome. We'll put a link up. And again, JB, thank you very much, and it was a pleasure having you on the show, man. We're going to go out with a song that you sent to me called Hang Me, Oh Hang Me, and it's a live recording, in which I have to say it's one of the best-sounding live recordings. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about that as we're heading out of the interview?
Yeah, I actually met Dave Van Ronk years ago, and he taught me that song and the Ballad of Stackerly. And I was coming home, this was a year ago, February, and a friend of mine in Charlottesville, Virginia, was hosting a tribute to Dave, and he asked me to come up and do a couple songs, and I did. And the sound guy happened to have a real nice recording apparatus that I recognized there. I said, hey, any chance I can get you to practice? I've never tried to do these songs before. And he was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And he tracked it, and the people, when I played that version of Hang Me, Oh Hang Me for people, everybody agreed, like, man, you got to put that out, like, put it on your record. So I'm gonna tack it on the solo CD.
All right, well, here is again Hang Me, Oh Hang Me by JB Beverly. Thanks again, man, for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Thank you all very much. Thank you so much. I'm real happy to be here. I want to thank Leo for asking me to come up and pay some respects to Dave, and I'm going to try my best to do just that. You all enjoy. Thank you. Hang me, oh, hang me. I'll be dead and gone. Hang me, oh, hang me, I'll be dead and gone. Wouldn't mind the hanging, but the laying in the grave so long, poor boy, and I've been all around this world. Been around Cape Girardeau and parts of Arkansas. been all around Cape Jordan, parts of Arkansas. Got so goddamn hungry I could hide behind the straw. Poor boy, and I've been all around this world. Went up on that mountain and there I made my stand. Went up on that mountain, there I made my stand. Rifle on my shoulder with the dagger in my hand. Poor boy, and I've been all around this world. Hang me, oh hang me, and I'll be dead and gone. Hang me, oh hang me, I'll be dead and gone. Wouldn't mind that hanging, but the laying in the grave so long. Poor boy, I've been all around this world. Put the rope around my neck and hung me up so high. Put the rope around my neck, hung me up so high. Last words I heard him say, won't be long now before you die. Poor boy, and I've been all around this world. Hang me, oh hang me, I'll be dead and gone. Hang me, oh hang me, I'll be dead and gone. Wouldn't mind the hanging, but the laying in the grave so long. Poor boy, and I've been all around this world.
Thank you all so much. Good night. Rest in peace, Dave Van Rock.
Yeah, at least mine was like 10 seconds. Yours was like 45.
All right. Ready when you guys are.
3, 2, 1. Contact. All
are you
right.
Ready? I'm sorry. Are you ready? Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. My bad.
3, 2, 1. Contact. All right, everybody. Welcome back. And you just heard Hang Me, Oh Hang Me by J.B. Beverly. Right?
Dramatic pause. Jeez.
Nice.
And that's off his new album that's going to be coming out pretty soon called Stripped to the Root. And I want to thank J.B. for being on the show. It was an awesome interview, and he's an awesome dude.
Yes, he is. Cool. And right now, folks, the long-awaited moment that you've all been... Wow, that doesn't make any sense. Here's the moment y'all been waiting for. Stupid people doing stupid things.
And I thought we should go with something close to home. And I will read the article, the headline, and we'll go from there. 4 Amish arrested on alcohol charges after buggy hits cop car. So, BJ, this might be a relative. If so, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
4 young Amish adults were charged with illegal possession of alcohol after their buggy collided into a police car, authorities say. You notice they didn't say crashed into, because it's just like it collided.
Yeah.
Authorities in West New York say they've charged 4 young Amish adults with illegal possession of alcohol after their buggy collided with police car responding to a report of drinking party going on.
They were bugging out. It's the cops!
Oh, I thought you said bugging out like buggy. I was like, that was good.
Well, it could be like buggy out.
Okay. The Chattahoochee County Sheriff's Office tells media outlets that the crash occurred around 7:15 on Sunday on a rural town of Sherman near the Pennsylvania border in New York's southwest corner. Uh-oh, close to Pennsylvania. I'm telling you guys, Christy Fest, next thing you know, like, in the middle of the thing, we're going to look around, there's going to be Amish kids just drinking and fucking partying and fucking being on their Rosh Hashanah or whatever it is that they're on.
Rumspringer!
I'll be like, this is America.
America.
Oh, another fart by that dog. Jesus. Officials say deputies were responding to a report that people were drinking in several Amish buggies on a country road. Who's going to turn them in? Really?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Here's the crash. As a patrol car arrived on the scene, one of the Amish buggies changed lanes, collided with the police vehicle. The buggy flipped onto its side, causing minor injuries to the horse. No. causing minor injuries to one of the people on the board. Police say that several other buggies fled the scene. Now, I'm sorry. These buggies are not going to flee the scene. They're like, giddy up. Oh, Jesus. BJ, what is going on with your peoples?
They're just having a good time. Like, us English should leave them alone.
I think so, too.
Well, didn't we have an Amish guy that got pulled over that was drunk off his ass?
Yeah, not and he, too long ago? He got off of all the charges because the horse knows the way home.
Are you serious?
Yep.
I didn't know they drank.
Oh yeah.
Like sieves. But really, the horse and buggy, the drunk guy, they don't live under our, like, rules and regulations.
Oh, I know. So reference.
He could not even really be charged officially because
they still can.
Oh, really? I didn't think they could because they didn't live by our...
No, they're just very secretive, and they're, like, there's a shit ton of Amish pedophiles.
Ugh.
But they don't tell the authorities. They lock them away themselves. And usually they all go into, like, one house somewhere.
The pedophile house.
Right. Nice.
It's a halfway house, man.
That man's beard touched my booty. God, that's disgusting. So there it is. Stupid people doing stupid things, even the Amish, except BJ does stupid things.
I do lots of stupid things.
I just want to know, like, how it collided. Did, like, the horse run into it, or was, like, the side? I don't. How's it happen?
I don't know. I would have loved to have been there, though.
What's the max speed a horse and buggy, Amish horse and buggy, is going to go? Really, like, top notch speed? Like, if they're a full bore, 10 miles an hour?
Probably like 25, 30.
I would say, depending on the horse.
Downhill,
both ways.
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, we've gotten behind them before, but I've never checked the speedometer.
Will you do that next time, please?
Yes.
All right. We'll get one of those guns that the police have to check their speed. We actually, in the mornings, Sunday mornings, when they're leaving church, have buggies passing buggies on our road. It is the fucking craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
I am going to sit out there Sunday morning. Dude, it's gonna be awesome. I'm just gonna take pictures. And no, what I want to do is I want to, like, Sunday morning, we'll get up real early, you know, and then, like, I want to sit standing by the end of your driveway, and when as they come by, I just want to run alongside of me. You guys take my picture.
I thought you were gonna say wave, but running's good.
I'll wave when you're taking my picture. I'll wave to you guys. I'm not waving to them. They piss me off. Reference party.
Now,
like,
do remember, we do still live here and have to look at those guys go by us every weekend.
Well, of course you look at them. It takes them 45 minutes just to get by your house.
Now, they do, they have to be at church at like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Late sleepers.
I'm sorry?
Late sleepers.
Yeah, I guess. But it's about 11 o'clock, quarter to 11, when they all start passing by. Again, that's when church lets out. It's like a 2.5 hour service.
Okay, so, okay, can we do this then? If you guys don't want, can we just line up all of the folding chairs and stuff that we have from Christia Fest the morning after and line them up all in a row and then just everybody goes sit in the front yard?
If you can do that, that's fine. You're more than welcome.
I'm doing it. All right, so enough of that. So stupid people can be Amish, Jewish, Puerto Rican, Islamic.
Right.
And we will continue in black. And Taiwanese?
Is it Taiwanese? What's the
girl that married herself was Taiwanese.
Yes, she was Taiwanese.
All right. So me and the Malls went to go see Justin Townes Earl.
Nice.
Have you ever seen Justin Townes Earl live?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
Well, his new album is now out, and it's, you know, the one with the longest title ever. Nothing's going to change the way you feel about me, something. Anyway, I'm kind of mad. So we went, and it was a really cool venue. We went to Bloomington, Illinois, and it was an old theater. And
right.
I've seen him before, and he was the most amazing show that I'd ever seen when I saw him before, because it was just him.
Okay.
But now, with this new album, he's got, well, this time he had a stand-up bass player and an electric guitar player. It was still a really good show, but it wasn't the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's going to be going on tour now with like a full band. He was talking about having a full band. And there was a couple times where like the guys left the stage and he played by himself. I like Justin Townes Earl stripped down just to a thong. No, you know, just to him and the guitar. And it was a really good show. But, you know, he didn't come out afterwards. So I guess I got spoiled the first time I saw him.
Right.
Do you think he's too big for his britches now or what?
I think he's just trying to go to a different kind of audience, personally.
Right.
I think he's trying to play up the alt-country folks that listen to NPR and drive hybrids and, you know, this, that, and the other thing.
I still stand by the fact that I think he's one of, like, the most amazing songwriters, you know, right now. I still like his music. I'm not dissing his music. I miss that intimate experience, because
yeah.
I think that's when his music is most powerful. But that's just me, and I am done. So we're going to listen to a Justin Townes Earl song now.
All right, sounds good.
And I really like this song. It's a pretty meaningful song to me, and I know it was to him as well when he wrote it, if you folks know anything about his history. So here is Justin Townes Earl with "Won't Be the Last Time."
You're listening to It Burns When I Pee at IBWIP.com.
That was excellent. You're hired.
Thank you.
Your verbal contract has been extended for 2 more episodes.
Woohoo!
You're like, fuck, I cannot get rid of this guy.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3. I'm not gonna say I don't deserve it. All those other times, I'm not gonna claim to know what happened, and I don't even know how I got home that night. Maybe I said some things I shouldn't. Maybe I caused a scene. Maybe I broke myself a promise that I never meant to keep. Won't be the last time. It won't be the last time. It won't be the last time. It won't be the last time. And the first time I found love, I was young and I was mean. I took just what I wanted, pretty little thing. And I never told her that I loved her. You could see the one in her eye. The last time that I saw her, she waved goodbye that night. And it won't be the last time. It won't be the last time. It won't be the last time. Won't be the last time. When I was young, I was dumb and I was free. Now I'm getting old, and I feel this world closing in on me. So on a Sunday morning sidewalk, wishing, Lord, I could sleep. I got my hands down in my pockets, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. And it won't be the last time. It won't be the last time. It won't be the last time. It won't be the last time.
And this is Hobo Hiatus.
And we're from Trailer Park Romance Radio Show. And we wanted to cordially invite you on down to our trailer park, where we play the best music for your listening pleasure and dish about our trailer park neighbors.
Those neighbors are always up to something.
And we share our deep love for good music, good conversation, good friends, but most of all, our deep love for each other. 'Cause I love you, Hobo.
And I love you, baby.
So please, come on down and hang out at X Transmission FM on Tuesday evenings at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard, 7 p.m. Eastern.
And remember, if this trailer's rocking, come on in!
It like it is. I call a spade, and you're the one my problem's with. And if you're wanting an apology, you better find a seat. You really think you're right, you must be crazy from the heat. Just 'cause I'm an asshole, that don't make me wrong. Well, gas is over $3, but I guess no one told you. I'm trying to get to work, but I can't seem to get by you. Be looking a sight to see. They ought to have two lanes, one for you and one for me. Just 'cause I'm an asshole, that don't make me wrong. Play that guitar, asshole. Don't make me wrong.
I'm going to push play and actually I'm pushing record. Okay.
3, 2, 1, contact. All right, everybody. Welcome back to It Burns When I Pee. You just heard Ronnie Himes with Don't Make Me Wrong, which was requested by Yvonne, who ordered some buttons.
Yes.
Way to go, Yvonne. Woo.
Woo.
See, you request a song and we get it on because you... Let's get it on. Okay, anyway. It is time for the dreadful so-so segment that we have yet to find out if people like or not. And it's called Would You Rather. Are you guys ready to play? We'll go over the rules one more time. I'm going to give you a Would You Rather scenario. And do not make the decision right off the bat. Ask as many questions as you need. And when I figure we've ran it into the ground, I will ask you your final opinions. Got it?
Right on.
Yep.
All right.
Let's do it.
Would you rather have sex with a dog on live TV or impregnate a giraffe and be responsible for looking after them for the rest of your life? And questions.
Both are bestiality.
Yeah, like.
Hold on though. Let me ask this question: is it actually like you have to hump the giraffe, or is it you impregnate it with some kind of device?
That is a good question.
Yeah, that is a good question.
You insert your semen using a turkey baster, but. But to get aroused to where you can have the sperm, you have to get oral sex from the giraffe.
Oh. And what do we get when we raise this giraffe for its whole life?
What do you get, like, as a prize?
Yeah.
You get notoriety and you get to be on quite a few nature shows as they tell your story. they might even make a movie. I don't know, but they might even make a movie about it.
Now, would the giraffe have a human head?
No, it's a regular standard giraffe from Africa.
Oh, so my semen somehow makes a standard giraffe.
Oh, you mean the babies?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, they have a giraffe head, and they have a human body, and then a tail, but their arms and legs are really, really long.
So it looks like Jeffrey from Toys R Us.
Yeah, yeah, a lot like that, yeah.
Isn't it a black tongue?
Yeah, they have freaky, creepy black tongues.
Okay, this dog thing, what was it again?
Have sex with a dog on live television.
Okay, and does this only occur once?
Yes, you have to have, it's a one-time deal. Yes, it only happens once.
Is there money involved?
You are paid approximately, well, it depends on what you mean by paid.
No, I meant like money.
Oh, money. I was like, you're paid with a great orgasm. No, you make
$75. 75?
Yes.
Really?
What kind of dog is it?
Yeah, what kind, That's the best question right there, Beach. What breed? Because if it's a fucking poodle, fuck it. No, never mind.
It's an Alaskan Malamute.
At least it's not a Chihuahua.
Right. You would break that. It would come out of its mouth.
Right.
And Paris Hilton would be like, oh, my God.
So I'm kind of leaning towards giraffe. Right now,
yeah, but you haven't really focused on the giraffe right out of the bat, but you didn't really, you haven't quite asked too many questions about the dog besides the whole payment of $75.
Do I get to hump a hot chick afterwards?
Oh yes, you once you have sex with the dog on live TV for the rest of your life, you can have sex with any porn star that you want, except the Asian ones because those are for me.
Okay, so you only have to hump the dog once, and then you get to have sex with any porn star.
Whenever you want.
Whenever you want.
For the rest of your life.
Plus, you get $75.
Yeah, exactly. Like cab
fare. Okay.
So what do you get awesome if you with the giraffe?
Well, I mean, you get the notoriety, and like I said, you get to be on probably a lot of nature shows, and like they might even make a movie about your life, but
no porn stars.
No porn stars, because you're too busy watching the little Toys R Us giraffes.
Jeffrey, but really, if you think about it, if I'm screwing a dog, and then I get to go ahead and fuck porn stars, they're all dogs too, so what does it matter?
Well, I think, let me kind of direct you to a question. Since you're a female, I mean,
right,
you don't get to have sex with male porn stars. It's only female porn stars.
It's only female porn stars.
Right, right. Only female porn stars.
Well, that's just totally unfair. I can't even make a decision on this.
Well, let's try to get
can't even impregnate a fucking giraffe, so what the fuck's the point?
Yes, you can.
I don't have semen.
Well,
he said inject the semen with a turkey baster into the giraffe. Okay. I don't have semen. It's not my semen. I'd have to go to sperm bank and collect semen.
She's getting awful rowdy about this.
I'm just saying. I'm not getting rowdy.
She's been kind of in an off mood all night.
Yeah, she's been a little edgy. I don't think she's getting it enough.
I've been sick all week. I'm sorry.
She's like got sand in her vagina or something.
All right, let's try to. We got time for maybe one or two more questions, and then we'll have you guys make your decisions. Any more questions?
I don't really have any more questions.
You don't want to ask any questions about the actual television situation?
Yeah. What's going on with this television situation? Like one person watches this show?
Well, it is. It's on live TV, but it's on pay-per-view.
But nice. There's a lot of sick fuckers out there.
But still, you only get $75 out of it.
And do it. Yeah.
And actually. Your mom and your dad's, they were confused because you told them you're going to be on TV, so they rented the pay-per-view.
My parents don't expect anything less from me.
Okay, any more giraffe questions? No more? Are we good with, get the little Jeopardy theme song?
I think I'm good. I think I'm going with the giraffe because I don't have to have my dick inside of an animal.
Well, it's going to be in its mouth.
Well, I mean, it has that freaky long black tongue that can just... I won't be inside of it.
Right. It could suck you off just by its tongue on like 3 feet away.
See, tongue I don't can, have like, no giraffe fucking sucking me off. What the fuck?
No,
well, in your case, the giraffe would eat your vagina, lick your vagina.
Yeah.
Oh, with his rough black tongue.
Yeah, it would take care of your man in the boat.
That's like a cat licking your hand or something. It's just like
sandpapery.
Cole is like, just like in high school, big black tongue. Okay, Coley.
Wrong. I don't know.
You can't say I don't know. You have to pick one or the other, or you're assassinated.
Oh, okay. I guess I'll go with the dog. I don't know. I'll go with the dog.
You got to pick one or you're a big doo-doo head.
The dog. The dog.
All right. So Colbert is fucking the dog on live TV.
Woo!
And BJ is impregnating a giraffe. And he will be responsible for looking after the children for the rest of his life.
I could make a lot of money selling that bitch to Toys R Us.
All right, folks, we're winding down here. Thank you guys for playing. I know you hate that game with a passion. I always thought it would be fun. So, again, let's talk about episode 61. Huge ordeal. 5-year anniversary of the show. Circus clowns. We're going to have strippers, cocaine.
Off the stripper's ass.
We're going to have dog fucking on TV. And BJ said he's going to impregnate a giraffe live.
Yes.
So if you've never dialed into the show or sent us fan feedback, now is the time. We need everything in by like the 15th or 20th of May. But don't wait.
Do not.
We'd love to hear from our fans, and since it's such a special, you know, episode, it'd be cool to have a bunch of them. We are in the process of scheduling the featured artist, and I will not give that information out until the day of the release.
That's a good idea.
And this show is also most awesomely special because we will be live together all in the same room after the Christie Fest extravaganza.
Right, and there's probably going to be a lot of people actually listening to us do it here in the house.
A live studio audience.
Yes.
Woot, woot.
We should set up chairs and have them clap, like have a like applause light.
Oh, that maybe we could get like a Q&A session.
Yeah.
Nice.
So definitely get ready to check that out. And, you know, 2012, we started off, I had a whole bunch of ideas. I'm still working on some of those ideas. A lot of those ideas cost money. So we are selling buttons. We have 1-inch buttons, and we also have the 2-inch buttons. And we're also selling Piss and Fizz root beer.
Yay, Piss and Fizz root beer. Sorry, Coley was trying to talk to me.
Oh, sorry.
It sounds yummy.
It is really good. It's homemade root beer made here at IBWIP Studios, and it has the Piss and Fizz logo on it. It's definitely worth checking out.
Are you bringing some here?
I'm going to make a batch before we come. I the problem is the transport isn't going to be very conducive.
Right.
But we're going to work something out. At least one for you guys. At least one. Because you don't really... You know,
I'm going to set it on my shelf.
Right. And one of the things I am definitely going to do is after we release episode 61... We are going to have limited edition. There's going to be 4 posters made. These are real posters. They're going to have all the show arts from all 61 episodes, and they're going to be available on eBay.
Nice.
Nice.
You know, we've done 61. It'll be 61st show, but I'm thinking it's going to be cool, so we'll definitely get you guys, you know. We want to do more videos and stuff and more live recordings, so we're trying to do some of that stuff, like with Carrie Nation and the Speakeasy. We're trying to, you know... And we did with the Hen House Prowler. So we're trying to move on to, you know, branch out a little bit. And we just need your support. If you feel like donating, even $5, I sure could use a new mixing board. But anyway, the donate button is on the website. And as always, you know, you can donate buy some buttons and we can start there.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye-bye.
But most important, I would like the Amish BJ to tell us about SilentStormRadio.com.
All right, folks, you can go to SilentStormRadio.com on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays to check out 3 of the best shows on the internet today. On Wednesday night, you have Tim Pop's Rebel Rouser Country at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. He plays a lot of good old, like, Waylon, you know, Loretta Lynn. He'll throw a lot of new stuff in there, too. It's just a great, great show. Tim is a professional at this. He kind of makes me look like an asshat. And he actually does a few shows on different networks. So definitely check out that show. And then you have my shit show, Crazy... just drunken mess on Friday nights.
It's a party.
Yeah, that's what I've always wanted it to be, a party atmosphere, time to let loose from a shitty long week because we all have shitty day jobs. And, you know, time to kind of kick off the weekend. And I will go as long as people want me to. So if you come in and listen, definitely come in the chat, which you can go to the chat that's on the site. And join in, talk with us, and send in requests, and I do my best to fill them. And on Sunday nights, you have Blake Clayton's Sunday Night Roundup, which is an awesome, awesome show. Great time is had by all there.
we
drum solos.
Yeah, yes, the drums, air drum solos are my favorite. We didn't do one last week, but we also... we have been using the live webcam while I've been doing our show, and I think we're getting those things worked out to where it's working out pretty good.
Yeah. I think so. And also on silentstormradio.com, probably by the time this show airs, hopefully there will be at least one new show, maybe two, maybe four. So awesome. Definitely stay tuned. You can friend us at Facebook or like our page at Facebook. It's silentstormradio.com, I believe, or silentstormradio. On Facebook, go like that, and you can get the latest updates as well as reminders for shows.
Awesome. And make sure you tell your friends about it. If you listen to the show, even if you don't get on the chat, tell your friends about the show. Have them like the page, because you know that the word of mouth is the only way that we're gonna get, you know, we're gonna get bigger, and we need your help. So that's how you can support us.
Right. I totally agree. Definitely spread the word. Even if you don't want to hear the bullshit that we got going on, maybe somebody else will.
Exactly.
So. Right on.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for, again, doing another show with me. And I really look forward to next month when we're all in the same room with mics in front of us. And it's going to be awesome.
We won't be talking over one another anymore.
We'll be able to see each other and, like, know.
I'd say we play strip podcasting.
Woo, woo.
I want to thank JB.
I'll make you play spoons.
What do you like? The game spoons?
Yes.
What do you do with that?
Don't get her into it.
Okay. It's probably really technical. It's a Pennsylvania thing.
It's really not. It's four of a kind. And if you get four of a kind, you pick up a spoon. But you can bluff this, that, and the other. It's fine.
Jesus, that sounds confusing. I want to thank JB Beverly for being on the show. Like I said, I said in the interview, you know, he's admired by a lot of people, both fans and musicians in the scene, and it was an honor to have him on the show. I'm looking forward to his new album and all the other stuff he has going on. I want to thank my secretary, Miles. She's upstairs sleeping. Didn't really help me. No. But I want to thank her, and of course, I want to thank you guys. And as always, I want to thank the listeners and the people who support us. Just like Silent Storm Design, Silent Storm Radio and Silent Storm Design, tell your friends about us, have them check us out, and it would help us out a lot.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
And we want to thank you, Blake, for giving us an extended verbal contract.
Well, right? BJ, it was just yours. I haven't really decided about it.
It wasn't me.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Still on my contract right now.
You're fucking out.
Damn it.
And I want to thank everybody for listening.
What? I'm sorry.
I want to thank everybody for listening to this show and, you know, not hating me completely or hating Coley or Blake. So,
well, they hate me, but it's okay. I understand. All right. Well, we cannot have an episode of A Burns on IP without the infamous BJ Double Shot. So give it up to us, brother.
All right. For this month's Double Shot, I decided to put up a song by Mr. Lone Wolf, one man band from down in Florida. Could be the guy that's going to be at Christie Fest, but he just released a new album. It came out yesterday. Well, yesterday as we're recording this, so last week. And the song is called Can Catfish Blues, and there's also a video for that done by good friend Nick Lindsay. And then a band that I'm really, really into right now and can't stop listening to, Slim Cessna's Auto Club with Smashing Indictment from their new album, Unentitled.
Awesome. And after that, we're going to have a little bootleg, a little behind-the-scenes recording that we did. So thanks, everybody. And, guys, I'll see you in about 3 weeks.
Yep. See you, Blake.
See ya.
Can't wait.
To touch my penis?
Yes.
Catfish territory, crack a swan. When I got a
and a bucket catfish. Let my troubles go. When I'm feeling down and out, there's one place I go. Open a bucket catfish. Let my troubles go. Let my troubles go. Let my troubles go.
If I do not call, 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 don't know.
You guys are hounding us, it's different. But you guys hound us, it's like, come on, get it over with. Yeah.
I just, watching your face.
But when we're in that mood, it's like.
He just should take advantage, right?
It's both. Yeah.
I didn't hear what you said.
She said we should take advantage of this, us, me and BJ should take advantage of the situation when it's a prompting to us.
If you'd offer up the ass, maybe we would.
I'd fuck her in the ass every night. I'd
Internet high five, buddy.
You guys are so gay.
You're so gay.
So gay. We're seriously gay.
You just wait. In a month and a half, my ass is going to hurt so bad, I don't know what to do with it.
So, I have a development of what happened to me today at work.
You got a promotion and a raise.
No.
working on it.
A disaster happened. I fixed it yet again. Chalk up another one. And I marched in the office and pretty much asked for a raise. I didn't demand, but it was getting close. I'm not that kind of guy. I've been there 13 years and never asked for a raise.
Yeah.
So, but today was the day.
And what did they say?
Cross your fingers.
All right.
Not both of them.
There's three owners. I only talked to the one, so he's going to talk to the other.
Is that his beer? Did you drop your beer?
No.
A nice phone. Nice phone.
Yeah, it's the first nice phone we've ever had.
Oh, I thought it was I thought it was a cell phone. I was like, is that Jesus' cell phone?
No, I have pre-Jesus cell phone. None.
I write, I'd scroll and send it. That's
yeah. I tap out stuff. Like,
welcome to Christie Fest. Please join us on this special weekend.
Hey, I found out Sean's game is at 12:45 that day.
On Saturday?
Yeah, it's a home game and it's at 12:45.
How long do they last?
It's going to take it.
Oh, man.
That one.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. I thought it would be cool all of us showing up at Sean's game. Like,
he would be so embarrassed.
He would be after the game.
He'd be like,
and all the uppity soccer parents would like shun us immediately.
Like the fucking those hillbillies have brought their cousins with them.
They're all like professors' kids and shit on Sean's team, and we're like, oh, folk. You know, they're all driving nice new cars, and we got a Subaru that barely runs.
Nice.
So yeah. We're white trash.
Woohoo!
No, we're not.
We're at a white trash party. All right.
I don't think we'll be trash.
No.
I think if I was at a party night kicking up a free fucking toothless bastard, then I'd be white trash.
Speaking of which, do you guys know, like, real rednecks? Like, real, like, rednecks?
Yeah.
Okay. How is it that they have, like, orgies all the time? Like, even the fat, toothless, like, redneck women are getting nailed by, like, five guys in tight?
You.
What the fuck is up with that? Have you guys ever noticed that?
We don't know those kind of rednecks.
Yeah. If I knew those rednecks, we'd be partying, super partying every night.
That's twin.
No. Mm-hmm. Nobody else wants them but their own.
I don't know.
And it's a big circle. It really is. It must be a PA. Because every white trash bitch or dude... I mean, I worked with a girl that didn't have any front teeth. She had, like, three guys plus the one that she was living with.
Ew.
You remember Kathy?
Hey, if she didn't have any front teeth, that'd be a good blowjob.
Ow.
Maybe that's why.
Well, there we go.
Hey, you don't knock it until you get your head from an 80-year-old woman. Don't knock it. It's great.
ball. What are you enjoying now? Is that an apple pin?
No, it's a tennis ball.
Oh, but it was an apple.
I'm just constantly eating.
No, on a tennis ball when you're not eating.
Right. She's like, I gotta work up my strength for all this sex.
Yeah, we didn't have sex last night, so tonight I might get some tonight.
Uh-oh.
No way. No way. Once a
no?
week.
Once no, a week. I thought it was every other day.
Blake, she's gonna what kick your fuck? Ass out. You don't start giving her some lovin'.
She can't kick me out. She can't afford the whole thing herself. That's all I got going for me.
You're gonna hold out for once a week just so she has to stay with you?
No, just once a week. That way, when we do have it, she's like, "Oh my God, you're amazing!" And if you have it every night, she's like, "Oh, this is the same move you used yesterday." I only
that's
got.
That's too bad. Just saying a little bit ago, if she's in the mood, don't pass it up.
I only have 3 moves, Coley.
That's okay.
I have even less than that.
When Nicole is in the mood, it doesn't matter.
I'm
like. Just sit on it and go
wait. Sometimes if you just go the right way, it'll go.
Hey, this chick from Sweet Life with Zach and Cody's pretty cute. She may be underage, but she's cute.
This is the sweet... Is it the rich one?
It's some... Sweet Life with Zach and Cody movie or something that the boys are watching.
Oh, but the one of the main the main girl that's on that's real rich, she's like Asian or something.
Yeah. I figured you'd like the Asian one. I was talking about the other one. The one from Corn Poke or wherever the hell she's.
Oh, the hillbilly one.
Sean knows her name. It's Debbie Ryan.
Look at him. Play out.
Up on that shit.
I think that's the only reason he watches that stuff.
Because he's got like a little Woody going on.
Sean, do you have a little Woody going on?
Oh, he says,
what?
Nigga, please.
Nigga, please. Alright, we're going to go have sex, I guess.
Alright, so you guys have fun.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, maybe we could just cam to cam.
Like this. You really, you're like sitting here like this, like, hold on, wait. Oh, yeah. There's some things that we do that really, really concern me. All right, guys. Have a good night.
You too.
See you later.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.